talk about tweets and take a quiz so we can find out who the smartest one is. What happened this week in Survivor?
Yes, that's right. We are back this week in Survivor, and we've got a great one for you this time around. First, let me welcome in the man who created the This Week in Survivor history quiz, Mr. Jordan Kalish. Jordan, how are you?
I'm doing great. Had a really fun Thanksgiving. How was yours, Rob?
Oh, just so much holiday joy over here at my house, where I got to spend Thanksgiving all day with my kids, and the day after Thanksgiving all day with my kids. And now we've taken all of the Christmas decorations out of the garage and now opened them up, and there's Christmas stuff everywhere. And I'm so happy to be back on the podcast.
Well, how was the pumpkin pie at least?
Good. That's good. I'll be going back to it. That Costco pumpkin pie goes a long way. I'll be, I think for another, basically, I think it's going to get me through the rest of the Survivor season, the Costco pumpkin pie. Anyway, so Jordan, how did we do this? What a great get we have on This Week in Survivor, an accomplished Jeopardy champion, one of the greats. He did a podcast with me back in Millennials versus Gen X that he was on the Feedback Show way back when. Now here he is making his This Week in Survivor history debut. Please welcome the great Mr. Alex Jacob. Alex, how are you?
Awesome. Rob, Jordan, awesome to be here. Always an honor to appear on the premier reality show podcast.
Oh, come on.
Very exciting.
Come on. All right. Alex, very excited to talk to you about everything that's going on in Survivor and in your world. Of course, Alex was, in addition to being a Jeopardy champion, also a poker player, winner of the 2015 Tournament of Champions. And here you are, Alex, a great pleasure to have you back.
Yeah, and also I was on Jeopardy All-Stars earlier this year, so I do know a little something about seasons that were not received well by the fandom. So
why? Why wasn't Jeopardy All-Stars not received well?
You know, people were, I think it was, they did a team format, and it was the first time they ever did it. And after, I guess after seeing hundreds or thousands of episodes of regular Jeopardy, I think some people were not up for the team concept. But I know the True Blue fans, of course, loved it, and that's kind of feel about this season, Rob. You know, it may not be my favorite season, and maybe the worst season I've ever had.
This wasn't your favorite season?
Not gonna lie, not my favorite. Even beyond, you know, lots of ugly stuff that's happened. You know, I don't really love how they executed the twist so far. Mm-hmm. But it is Survivor, and I love the show. I'm still watching, and every season is a good season, even the worst season they've ever had.
Yeah, Alex, I know next year, coming up in January, they have a big Jeopardy Tournament of Champions. What is that called? Jeopardy Island of the Idols?
It's called Jeopardy Goat.
Goat Island.
Jeopardy Greatest of All Time.
Jeopardy, okay. Jeopardy
Greatest. Is Dean Kowalski participating in this game of Jeopardy?
The Goat Army.
I think they called him, they wanted him, but they could not get him, so they settled for obviously three of the greats, Ken Jennings, Brad Rother, James Holzhauer. So that's going to be great.
Yeah, I have a question, Alex, and here was my biggest problem with the Jeopardy All-Star Games. Why was it Team Buzzy? Why wasn't it Team Alex?
I don't know. You know, I mean, he won more games than me, and maybe, you know, he had a higher Q rating or better, recognizable name and face with the audience, you know, that kind of thing. I mean,
but he's not coming on This Week in Survivor history.
for sure. He's a fan favorite. You know, I had no problem with, not being a captain in that. I don't think you could argue with any of the choices they made for captain. That's why a lot of people tweeting at me and stuff like that. Say, hey, you should have been a captain, you know. That's all. That's very nice, and I appreciate all that. But,
yeah,
I had no problem with that.
And Alex, we would love to see you competing in the greatest of all time. That why didn't they come to you for a spot on greatest of all time?
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things. They've always generally these Jeopardy tournaments have been at least 15 people. They'll do a week, a couple of weeks. So there's even in the past they've done even more than that. You know, they did the Ultimate Tournament of Champions way back when they had I don't know 100 people or something like that. So this time they decided to do the top three. You know, I'm not going to argue that my resume, Jeopardy resume, would put me in the top three. So, you know, what are you going to do? They wanted to do a tournament with the top three players, and I don't think you can argue with the three they chose. So,
All right. You know, well,
obviously, I'd love to. Would have loved to be there, but yeah, I totally understand.
It is a cool idea what they're doing to bring back all of these different great players to compete in this season that's coming up at the beginning of next year. It would be cool if Survivor did something like that, right? Would it be cool like next year if they did something where they brought back like all these different great players?
They should really think about doing that. You know, people who have had success, maybe even won before.
That would be cool. So maybe we can put that out there into the universe and maybe manifest that.
But I think they should do the best players to never win season. That's really what I want to say.
On Jeopardy?
No, on actually, that would be interesting.
Yeah,
that'd
too. Be good. All chances, right?
Bring back all the people that came really close to winning. You know, each an episode.
So I do have a cousin that played on Jeopardy who never won. She was playing her first game and she went into Final Jeopardy with the lead and then lost. So she maybe would be in the running for this.
Yeah, happens.
People always say that, but that's tough because there are just so many people to choose from. It's a little hard for them to
to pick out the best. So Alex, I really am excited to have you here because that I feel like, ooh, okay, here's a smart person that I get to ask questions that probably would have taken me at least a couple of minutes to Google the answers to if I really wanted to know. But there's been so much talk about the goats, the goat army, who is a goat, who's not a goat. And I was wondering if that you might be able to know this. Could you give us the etymology of the word goat as it pertains to Survivor? That are there goats in anything else besides reality TV in this context?
I think so. I feel like I've heard in like sports context,
you don't bring
like baseball players back in the day who like muffed the, you know, made a mistake and they're the goat. Isn't that a thing?
So that's a good point. I mean, I have seen that sort of in the sports context. And I mean
it's not a perfect analogy, but it's similar meaning in terms of someone who's kind of the stinker,
right? Like a person that makes a you know, big error in a spot, the Bill Buckner was the goat of the 1986 World Series. But yeah, in reality TV, it's a different kind of context of the person that you want to take with you to the end, that person has become the goat. Jordan, do we have any sort of context of who was the first Survivor or Big Brother goat? When was the first time that word started being used, or has it always been a part of the shows?
I mean, I think the concept has always been a part of the show. You're always, especially, you know, in the era of the Final Two, where the winner of the Last Immunity Challenge got to literally take who they wanted to the end of the game. You always got you know, the commentary of who's the person that I could beat. Who's, you know, even if they weren't calling it the goat, it was a similar concept. I can't really think of the first time the word goat was used. But I think it's something worth researching of when's the first time that the word goat has ever been thrown into circulation. Cause I think there's, you know, some people kind of think of the term as derogatory. Some people, you know, look at the term as just, you know, a construct of the game where, of course, you know, you're going to be looking for the players who you don't think could win the jury vote to take to the end with you. So I think it would be maybe an interesting look back if you ever do like Evolution of Strategy part two and go back to season one again of when the first time that the word goat was used and maybe who were some of the bigger goats and maybe some that we don't even really think about because they never ended up getting to the end and therefore didn't have to worry about jury votes.
Alex, do you have any thoughts on the potential amount of goats who are in the game right now? Because there's a lot of talk about, you know, who's a goat versus who's not a goat versus who might be the greatest of all time.
Right. So in terms of the Survivor GOAT context, yes. So I think the two biggest GOATs by far are Karishma and Dan.
Yeah.
I think both of those, I'm pretty confident saying, have 0% chance of winning the game. You know, Karishma, not necessarily of how she's played, but I mean, just from what we're seeing, of how of everyone perceives her. I mean, there's been a lot of, you know, there's been a lot of footage of that, from her getting her hurting her hand, to when the rat jumped on her face, and no one cared about that. And then the next morning, the story was how she was complaining about not wanting to give up the blanket. Mm-hmm. So I think she definitely, may get dragged to the end. I don't even think necessarily she will get to the end. I don't see a reason why she won't get voted out next episode, or maybe in two. But if she does get to the end, I don't think she has any chance of winning a vote. So she might be the number one vote. Dan, I think, also is a GOAT, but in different than Karishma. Karishma is correctly perceived as a GOAT out there. I think Dan is kind of somehow perceived as a threat. It doesn't seem like the players in the game really appreciate the severity of what went down. And I think some of the people on the jury, I think there'll be enough people on the jury, and especially, I'm assuming, Kelly will blow him up somewhat if he makes it. So I think he's definitely a GOAT. Other than that, I think Dean is probably a GOAT,
mm-hmm,
as well. And I think Nora is someone who I want to apologize to, because on this podcast, you brought it up. I tweeted about it. I did some detective work. Her Twitter handle, if you didn't see, is now Nora Knows Best 1.
Yes.
I said I thought she lost the password to Nora Knows Best.
Yeah, but that was great detective work.
Well, thank you. But I may be having second thoughts, because she may have done that because she is going to finish number one in this season. I'm going to plant my flag that Nora is winning this season. That's what I think.
Okay. Wow.
She is perceived as a GOAT out there, but I think she is going to be a threat if she makes it to the end. She's won several immunities.
Mm-hmm.
And I think some of the negative footage that we saw in the beginning about her complaining about laziness and people not working hard, I think that's going to be trumped by everyone's obvious hate of Karishma, who's kind of the avatar for laziness.
Mm.
Right. So, and I think, you know, we're seeing a lot of stuff Nora's doing good. I think it was really good how she, even though, I mean, she may have never seen an episode of Survivor, some of the things she's done, especially the way she stayed up there on the immunity challenge. But I think it was very good doing that. I think it was such a pure moment that she wanted everyone to eat longer.
Mm hmm. Yeah.
And I think she's done a lot of things to endear people. And I don't think she is a GOAT like Dean perceives her to be. I think Dean is more of a GOAT than Nora.
Okay. So are you walking back that you think she lost the password for the original at Nora Knows Best, which has not tweeted in a few years, and now she is at Nora Knows Best 1? So you think that she just rebranded?
Well, if we're being honest, I think she probably did lose the password. But I do also think she might, you know, that's my galaxy brain take, Rob, yes, is that Nora is going to win this season.
Okay, well, I want to pick your galaxy brain, because I know that in terms of Jeopardy, that you're very on top of any sort of like emergent gameplay and strategies. And I just wonder, for these GOATs, I do feel like that it's a little bit of, you know, ideally, you don't want to be a GOAT, but I do think that the more that you try to resist to not be, like, once you get branded a GOAT, I think that the more you try to escape from that trap, the more likely you are to get voted out. And I wonder if you should even resist the GOAT label. I feel like that if I was ever to be on Survivor again, I would relish the idea of being the GOAT, and I would welcome it. I would want to be everybody's feeling like I was a GOAT.
Yeah, and it reminds me of something. I was wondering, does everyone out there think that Dean found an idol for himself and saved himself in a great move, or was there ever a scene where they found out that Kelly gave him that idol? Because he is Probably okay, for seniors.
That's a good question, because that in terms of that Dean's table image, to borrow from your world of poker, yeah, what is Dean perceived as somebody? Boy, Dean, what a, you know, he is a sharp player. He found an idol and nobody even knew that he had it the whole time, and he completely snowed us.
Right, because Kelly got voted out, and I don't know if that ever got revealed. But on the other hand, surely Kelly will tell everyone on the jury, and the jury will know.
Yeah.
So I think maybe that's why he's perceived more of a threat out there, but he's actually a goat in that. I don't think he's done anything. He's been on the wrong side of almost every vote. But the culture of the season seems to really be threat means physical threat to these people for the most part. That's what it really seems like. And it's just physical threat after physical threat getting voted out. Janet is probably the biggest threat in the game.
Right.
I mean, in my mind. I mean, if she makes it to the end, I mean, there's no way she's going to lose.
Yeah, you saw coming into this merge, you know, almost anybody who's done well at these challenges, save for Nora, has been voted out. Where then we saw where Aaron and Missy, they both won immunities. They instantly had to go. Jamal, like, did really well in the challenge that Aaron ended up winning. And that was a good reason why they had to go and get rid of him. And then Elizabeth, they talked about Elizabeth, who, oh, she's a swimmer. Oh, she'll win the game if we don't knock her out. So, yeah, they seem very concerned about this.
Right. I think it became clear that Elizabeth's biggest mistake of the game was on day one when she told everyone that she was an Olympian. That's not, and there's no chance anyone would recognize her, of course. And that's not something she should have done, obviously. I mean, at least how it turned out for the rest of the season, because physical threats are the targets. And yeah, I mean, she didn't win any individual immunities. I mean, what does she have on her resume that says she's a big physical threat? I mean, nothing really. Mm-hmm. Just the fact that she told everyone that she's an Olympian. And if she hadn't, would there be any eyes on her at all in that department if she hadn't revealed that?
Yeah. Alex, do you think that Nora will be the next person to go if she does not win an immunity?
No. I think she's in a good spot. Like, I don't know. I think I don't see a reason why Karishma won't be next. I mean, you know, of course, you know, everything always gets flipped on Survivor, but I mean, I would say Karishma gets voted out or Janet, you know, those are the two next in some order, I would think.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. Do you not think Nora's in a good spot with the majority there?
I do think she's in a good spot, but I'm just trying to project that everybody has this fear about who's going to win these immunity challenges. And if so, if that's their, you know, rubric in which they're judging, you know, how am I going to decide who goes home next? I wonder how long will it be until Nora's name starts coming out?
Right, right. I see your point there. I see what you're getting at. I kind of think that she's kind of been labeled as a goat somehow, so that it doesn't matter that she's winning these challenges, because everyone just like, oh, that's kooky Nora, you know, she can't win, you know, she's a goat, you know, who cares that she won another challenge. But I think if she actually does get there, I think she'd have a good story to tell. I think and also she was part of on the right side of history, let's say, with the Dan vote, right? I mean, and so that's, I think that could carry a lot of weight with some people on the jury if she makes it there.
Yeah, she did seem very excited to vote against Dan at that first vote after the merge when Kelly went home, and then she kind of dropped it after. We haven't heard her mention that since then.
Yeah, I mean, people out there don't seem to want to, you know, Dan seems to be in a good spot. They're not dwelling on anything that happened, and I don't think it's a big issue in the game right now.
Yeah.
For the people still in the game. I mean, for the jury, it might be different.
I want to talk about Nora. And Alex, I don't know if you ever check out the secret scenes of Survivor.
I usually don't.
Yeah. So Nora, of course, is a star both on the show and in the secret scenes. And Jordan, did you see this week of Nora got into cleaning the well?
No, I actually haven't seen any of the secret scenes this week.
Okay. Well, Alex, as a follower of Nora's social media, you know that Nora is very much into the health and wellness. And as her Twitter handle states, Nora knows best when it comes to healthy. And so Nora noticed some issues with the well that the survivors drink from. And so she decided to investigate what was going on in the well. Here's a clip from Nora checking out what's wrong with the well water.
So I'm looking in the well at the water and I'm pouring it and I see not one, not two, not three, but four slugs at the bottom. And they're about like this big. So I literally like go head first into the well and I grab all those little sluggy things out and I take them out of the well. It kind of grossed me out, but I'm like, they're out of there now. And now the water's healthier.
I like that she goes full LeBron James. Not one, not two, not three.
Yeah.
She knows best.
Yeah. So Nora, and then you get to see this, all the things that Nora pulled out of the well water. And so, Alex, my question is, has Survivor been in Fiji for too long? Is the infrastructure falling apart here?
It's a good question. I've wondered if they're ever going to switch it up and move camp, go somewhere else. It seems like that's like why they have to switch up the twist and the concept of the season every season, is because they are staying in the same locations. They want to have something different. But maybe if they would start moving around locations again, we could get a normal season of Survivor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Jordan, this seems like an issue.
Yeah, I mean, you said she was looking out for the health and wellness of the tribe. This is the literal wellness of the tribe, where she's worried about the slugs in the well. Yeah, I mean, I guess that's probably concerning, right? Well, you know, you've heard of players coming off the island with parasites and amoebas, and I can't imagine that having slugs in your water source is good for you. So I don't know if leaving Fiji is the answer. I mean, it seems like maybe the reason why survivors able to stay on the air so long is that they're not changing locations, and it's, you know, it's they, I guess they probably, I think they have some deal with the Fijian government at this point, but maybe you know, Fiji's a lot of islands, right? It's an archipelago. Check out one of the other islands.
Yeah,
and then if the island has a name, you could call it something else. And I agree with Alex that the twists are getting a little bit crazy, and the themes.
You could probably answer this best. Did you ever find any weird creatures in your water?
Look, I played piranhas a million years ago when we didn't have a well in the camp. We actually had to much worse things
in the
Rio Negro that we were drinking from. But this is wild stuff that there are slugs in the well water, and when you watch the video, you are concerned for Nora's safety. That it looks like that there could be like a baby Jessica situation where Nora is like goes like head first into the well to clean this out.
Anybody would, probably Nora would, right?
Yeah. Alex, do you have any players that you are really rooting for this season?
Nora, I already said
that. No, she's your that's your horse.
Sure, that's my horse. I'm nothing against Karishma. I mean, in terms of, I don't think she's playing that well, so I guess in terms of rooting for a good player, there's not a lot of people left to root for, I guess. Janet, of course, I guess I'm not a big person that like lives or die by the person I want to winning. I kind of, it's same thing in sports. I don't have a favorite sports team. I just kind of watch in general. So I'll appreciate the game regardless of who wins, let's say. But since Nora is my flag planting take on this podcast, I'm definitely rooting for Nora.
I was impressed by Lauren this week. I thought she had, even though she did play that idol unnecessarily, I think it was the right thing to do with Karishma playing hers. And she just had, it was sort of like a breakout episode for her, where she's sort of been, it's sort of been like Lauren and Tommy the whole time. I would argue that actually Lauren, I think, has maybe been a little bit of a bigger character, even though Tommy seems to have, a lot of things pointing to him as potentially winning the game. But I actually think she's been the more interesting character to this point, and I think they both are in a pretty good spot game wise as well.
You know, I think that's fair. I think she's a very interesting character, but she's been an interesting character with almost no story, where she talked about in one of the tribal councils about her 30th birthday Barbie carnival. Like, that sounded interesting. Like, that, yeah. That's in, she seems like a fun person, but just in terms of like the storyline of the show, she's had almost no story around her other than she is, you know, Tommy's wing person.
Yeah, I mean, I don't necessarily think she's going to win the game, but I would be happy with her as a winner of the game. I think she's playing well, and she seems to be pretty social, and she's fun. I think she's a fun. She gives good confessionals, and she's fun. I don't necessarily think she's going to win the game unless we really start to see more from her. You know, just like, you know, going over strategy, seeing what she does to get herself to the end. Maybe I think maybe she has to cut Tommy at some point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think she had a big episode for sure. I kind of agree with Rob. I think he said on one of the podcasts that, you know, it was kind of more made of the breakfast thing than needed to be. Like, everyone would have, the results would have been the same. Yeah. Regardless. Those people would have sat and the people who played would have played. I think it was a fun segment, I guess. You know, I think it would have been fun if they had her bet on, say, who was going to get voted out or something. I think that would be more of a skill that you would want to have in Survivor, kind of knowing what was happening in the game versus this kind of spending all this time about who's eating and has nothing to do with the game really. But anyway.
Mm. Yeah, that would be interesting. Maybe that we're like working up to that, where we had, okay, you have to make a bet on who is going to win the immunity. But maybe if there was some sort of like, okay, now call your shot of who's going to get voted out. You have to get this person voted out, and you end up with some sort of like safety for, you know, even longer than two rounds. And maybe if you end up being wrong, maybe you go into the next tribal council with like votes against you or something like that. Like, let's raise the stakes. Let's get to Final Jeopardy.
I think the only issue with that, what if the person you pick wins the immunity challenge?
You screwed up. They didn't get voted out.
I think it might be more interesting if not more interesting, but I think it might be more like feasible if you have to get a specific player to vote for another player, because then you're saying, look, I know who I want to target next. Yeah. I think I can get this person to vote for that person. But then, you know, you run into the thing where obviously, you know, Tommy's probably going to do whatever she does. So maybe that's not so interesting. I don't know.
Well, Alex, as we're talking about this, though, the idea of these like side quests that are happening, do we need side quests on Survivor? Like, isn't just the idea of getting one person voted out every single week, shouldn't that be enough?
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I really don't like how, you know, I've heard kind of a take out there like, you know, I wasn't really excited about when I heard about the season with Robin Sandra, blah, blah, blah. But now that I see it, I'm really pumped for it. I'm kind of the opposite. I didn't have a problem with it when I first heard about it, but seeing what they did with it, I really don't like it. I mean, I wish they would have just had Rob and Sandra been like advisors, like Cochran was in that episode.
Yes.
And the people come to the, I mean, I'm sure this has been said on a podcast before, but you know, people come to the island and they, you know, talk about their game and what they should do. And hey, have you been looking for idols? Yeah. Oh, you should look here. Or, you know, maybe you should vote out this person.
Yeah, it's like a boxing match. And then you go like to your corner and then it's like your team is like talking to you.
Right. And that would be really helpful. And I think it would also be really elegant, more elegant, if at Island of the Idols, there weren't any actual idols being found. The idols were Rob and Sandra. And now it's kind of this thing, well, Rob and Sandra are the idols, but you could also win an idol. I mean, you know, I just think the lessons they're teaching, most of them have nothing to do with Survivor, like go steal fire from the other, from the other camp. You know, I mean, predict who's going to win immunity. Like what? How useful is it really to predict who's going to win immunity? It's just like you wait until whoever wins immunity and then you start strategizing. I mean, it's just, it's not really, yeah. I don't feel like they're really, you know, they said at the beginning of the season, you know, everything here is to make you a better player. And these are lessons for the game of Survivor. And it doesn't really feel like it's just, or feels like big brother pranks. You know, it's exactly the type of thing they do on Big Brother where it's like, oh, make everyone believe that, you know, whatever, we have a punishment coming or stuff like that. That just completely has nothing to do with anything. So, yeah, I definitely agree with you.
Alex, I don't know what they have planned for Survivor 41. God willing, you know, we get to that point. But I really feel like that the best idea they could do is if they announced a season that was like, hey, it's our 41st season. We're going back to basics. And I've like sort of scoffed at this in the past, but I really feel like if they went and advertised it as like, come back to the game that you love, I feel like it would, they would pick up, 500,000, maybe a million people might come back if it was really advertised as, hey, this is the back to basics game that you fell in love with. And I'm not saying like get rid of the immunity idols, but maybe it's maybe they don't even have to tell them there's only going to be a couple of immunity idols this season. I really feel like that they could get behind it and really market it as some sort of like, all right, we're really going back to the game that you love, like the Coca-Cola classic of Survivor. And I really think that it would test incredibly well and people would come back to the show.
Right, right. The original social experiment. And they're showing clips of Richard Hatch and Rudy. And yeah, I know. I think that could that could definitely work. If anyone's listening, I'm sure, go ahead and do it.
So Rob, if we're talking like old school season, maybe not without the immunity idol, but kind of the early days of the immunity idol, are you saying like replay Survivor Guatemala?
Easy,
I'm all in. I'm all in for that.
No, I just think that let's just simplify what we're doing here a little bit.
I would love it personally. And I think people would be excited about that. I mean,
the easiest thing in the world that they could do, and it would make people the most excited about the goodwill that would be earned from the, social media of some sort of like simplified, whether you want to call it back to basics, old school, of a throwback, people would go nuts.
Yeah. I can't argue with you.
Yeah. They'll probably never do it. It's like, no, we need to keep like getting like crazier and crazier and crazier. But I do think that the opposite way to go, I think, is just the way that would make people like the most exciting thing you could do is slow it down and make it just a little less crazy and less to be able to really get to know the characters better. And I have not really been this guy on the podcast, but I just think that if they ever did do this, I think it would be such a big hit.
Yeah. And, maybe you have like, two idols in the pre-merge, like one for per tribe.
Yeah, and we don't need to get bogged down in the details, but less is more sometimes.
I agree with you.
I guess they're afraid of a kind of a Pagong situation or whatever, but I don't know.
Yeah, maybe it could. It might happen. But the thing is, the difference would be from then to now, the players are so smart that the players are going to be thinking about position and where they stand. And you don't need all of the all of the gimmicks. Every vote is still going to be a blindside because the players are going to be still all crazy. But the you don't need to then give them like a million weapons to also kill each other. That they're going to be cutthroat and kill each other. They're not looking at things like how people did back in the first couple of Survivor seasons of like, oh no, we have to stick with our original group, and people are still going to play hard. You just don't need to make the game crazy. Also,
I really like having like the old school mechanisms, but with the new player, like 40 seasons worth of Survivor perspective, I think would be a fascinating season to watch. And I think that if they were to do that, do you think it would bring in new viewers though, or do you think it would just make the base that they already have more excited?
I think some people would come back. We're talking about, it's only a show that like 6 million, 7 million people watch, but I think it would get a bump with they really push this we're going, back to basics and it's the show that you fell in love with. I think it would be a really strong way to market the show, and it would be better than anything else they could come up with for season 41.
Possibly the best thing they could come up with to bring in viewers, and I'm kind of surprised they haven't gone here, would be Celebrity Survivor.
Mm-hmm. I don't think that they could get celebrities that would do it for. I mean, look at the people, with all due respect to the cast of the Celebrity Big Brothers. I mean, it's they did not really, you know, come close to the A-list on the Celebrity Big Brother cast. And that was just living in the Big Brother house.
Oh, no, I'm not expecting the A-list. Don't get me wrong. We're going down the E, the F, the G list here.
Would you know who one person was on Celebrity Survivor for 39 days?
You got the Mooch. You got the Mooch. You got Tamar. Mm-hmm. They do it.
I feel like primetime network TV, you know, you could fill a season. I think you could.
Okay. Alex Jacob, would you be on Celebrity Survivor?
I'm sure they could get more celebrities, more people that are more of a celebrity than me. But if they called me, I surely would.
Okay. All right.
Which Jeopardy champion do you think would be the best Survivor player?
That's a good question. Probably. Oh, wow. Sorry, big pause on this answer.
There's probably so many that would be really awesome.
I'm probably Brad, I guess, because the guy just never loses. So I'm sure he would continue that streak.
And Alex, I wanted to ask you one other thing about a Jeopardy twist. That do you think would there be anybody that would like sit out of a round or a category for a temptation? Probably not breakfast. I don't know if pancakes would do it. But what if they brought like a prize out of like, all right, if you're willing to sit out this category, you'll go home with this dining room set.
I mean, that could be interesting. You know, they do give, what, 2,000 for second and 1,000 for third. But if they were like, hey, sit out a category for 1,000, I don't know, or guaranteed money. Some people might take it. I mean, certainly I would never never give up points like that. But you never know. That could be fun. That could work. I don't think food would work. I mean, they keep this pretty well stocked in the green room.
What about the location of the Daily Double? Would you sit out a category for the location of the Daily Double?
Ooh. Yeah.
Okay.
Definitely.
All right. Let's start to segue into some Survivor social media, but let me thank one of our sponsors, and those are our friends over at ZipRecruiter. Of course, hiring can be a slow process. That's what Cafe Altura's COO Dylan Mishkowitz found out when he needed to hire a director of coffee for his organic coffee company. Now, did they provide the coffee for this reward, Jordan? Do you know?
I think I did see coffee on the table. I mean, they should. If you're giving breakfast, what's breakfast without coffee?
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Well, let me get back to Dylan Mishkowitz, because he was having trouble finding qualified applicants. So he switched to ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on the candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its technology identifies people with the right experience and invites them to apply to your job so you get qualified candidates fast. Dylan posted his job on ZipRecruiter and said he was impressed by how quickly he got great candidates. He also used ZipRecruiter's candidate rating feature to filter his applicants so he could focus on the most relevant ones. And that's how Dylan found his new director of coffee in just a few days. And with results like that, it's no wonder 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Hey, no goats ever. See why ZipRecruiter is effective for businesses of all sizes. Try ZipRecruiter for free at their web address, ZipRecruiter.com/survive. That's ZipRecruiter.com/survive. SURVIVE. ZipRecruiter.com/survive. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Okay. All right. Let's talk about what's going on Survivor social media. We're not going to talk about any new tweets from Nora Knows Best, 0 or 1 here today. But let's kick things off with our social media jingle from the great Jacob Seeger Weinstein.
Tweets, baby, tweets. They're so teeny and dapper. I hope that one day I can be Karishma's favorite rapper. Tweets.
Karishma's favorite rapper.
I don't get the reference, but I mean, I like the rhyme.
Well, Karishma has a lot of favorite things. We know that Karishma's favorite restaurant is Applebee's. We know
mimosa is like my favorite drink in the whole world. If I could go to a bar and order any drink, I would order a mimosa. That's how much I love mimosas.
Alex, are you a big mimosa guy?
I enjoy a good mimosa. You know, I wouldn't say it's... I'm not going to lie. It's kind of weird to say that's your go-to drink at a bar. But sure, like Brett said, a good Sunday brunch. It's a nice drink. I heard there was some confusion. I watched it back, and I did see champagne bottles. So I do believe...
Oh, you think there was mimosa?
I do think so, yes.
Okay,
so
that's official. Okay.
Yes.
This also reminded me of we had some listeners write in with some prospective Survivor Jeopardy categories, and the mimosa reminded me of potent Probstables being a category.
Probstbury?
Yeah, that would be a good one. Also, a Survivor Jeopardy category. What do you think of Jamal of America?
I like it. We had Jamal the Fixins on Twitch last week.
Survivor captured our hearts, and he's also a big shopping center in Minnesota.
What is Jamal of America?
what about Survivor Presidents, and it's always Sarah Lucina?
Okay. And then also Decently Dope, we thought with do something with that. Okay. All right. Let's talk about the tweets. Boston Rob. He has this, great social media accounts, talked about his Instagram, but here's a tweet from Boston Rob. And Boston Rob says, who wants a personal video message from me? Head over to bostonrob.com and click on shout out. Enjoy at @Survivor_CBS tonight and happy Thanksgiving to all. So now Boston Rob is undercutting Cameo and is doing his own video messages. Alex, what do you think of this?
Well, it's very nice of you to give Boston Rob a plug here.
Sure. Yeah.
Well, good for him if he can, if he doesn't need Cameo to funnel the people his way that want the videos. Why not?
Hey guys, it's Boston Rob. Welcome to my video shout out page. If you ever wanted to send somebody birthday wishes, congratulations, happy holidays, or maybe you just know someone that needs to be told to smarten up, this is the place to get it done. Follow the information below, and I will be in your inbox soon. Personal video message coming your way.
Wow.
Did he say congratulation without the S at the end? Just like a single congratulation?
You're going to get one of these messages to smarten up, Jordan.
I'd love to get a smart enough message from Boston Rob. Was that you talking in the video, Rob, or was that the actual that Boston
was
Rob?
That was a clip. Alex, are there a lot of Jeopardy people on Cameo?
I haven't been on there. I don't know. I haven't heard about, haven't heard anyone talk about it, so I'm not sure. Hmm.
Let me see.
Should I get on there, Rob?
Let me do a search there.
You on there, Rob?
No, I'm not on there. I talked about getting on there to do that on Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast that we have an idea for a show called Cameo Cast, but we didn't want to just burn a couple $100 on cameos to get celebrities to say funny things to us. So I offered to go on Cameo to fundraise for money to pay for cameos that we could get celebrities to make fun of us.
I kind of want to pay Boston Rob to sing that Sarah McLachlan wand off.
I will remember you.
I went to Harvard parties.
Yeah. I don't know if we have any Jeopardy stars on. I mean, maybe you could be the person who is the pioneer.
You know, I'm not opposed to it, I guess, in theory. I just, I don't know if there'd really be the demand for videos from me. But
hey,
if there is demand, let me know and maybe I'll think about it,
There's a Black Friday deal going on right now on Cameo. $50. All these $100 celebrities you can get for $50.
Who can we get for
$50? Tom Arnold.
Wow.
Mary Lynn Rashkub, Chloe from 24, and star of the popular kids genie film Shazam, Sinbad.
Wow.
Not Kazam, not Shaq.
Yeah, are we going to like think we saw a video with Shazam in it or with Sinbad in it, and like we're not actually going to have seen it, but in 20 years we'll think that he sent one to us?
Yes, yes. Also, Boston Rob sent a nice tweet over the weekend about the podcast with Andrea. So I appreciate that from Boston Rob. Boston Rob tweeted, "Hey, at EO Orleans, give at Andrea Belke her immunity idol back already, will ya? LOLOL. Fun podcast with at Rob Sesternino. At Rob is a podcast. Check it out." So thank you, Boston Rob.
Yeah, I heard that. That is just a brutal story. Just one of those things.
Yeah, she lost.
I've definitely lost things like that before, where it's just like, it doesn't make sense. Where is it? It has to be somewhere, and then you just never find it. It's the worst.
You know, I have seen that idol in person before. The first fake Survivor game that I played, Andrea actually brought that idol to use as a fake idol.
Yeah.
I did not steal it. This is not the Brett Lavelle beer story. That's not where I'm going with this.
Jordan, also, Rob and Amber have a nice Thanksgiving toast to everybody. I hope everybody had a great Thanksgiving. Cheers to the holiday season. But they're in front of a giant Red Sox mural. You don't think that's in Boston Rob's house, do you?
No, he's canceled now.
He's canceled. Either that or some sort of Red Sox establishment. There you go. So maybe Rob's back in Boston for the holidays. All right. CBS had a tweet about Sandra versus the chicken. Sandra tweeted, "That bitch bit my finger." What are you thinking? Sandra is going to be okay? I feel like she's had a tough go of it on the Island of the Idols, Alex.
Yeah, that was probably the one moment that has made the airtime for Rob and Sandra worth it. That was definitely hilarious. Yeah.
Jordan,
I think she'll be okay.
Yeah, Sandra, she woke up with a bad back on the Island of the Idols. Then there was the week where she was like, her arms were completely wrapped up in bandages from poison ivy. Now a chicken is biting her. This has been a really tough season for Sandra.
It has, but I mean, I will say, like, let's say she were to ever, you know, play Survivor again and she walks in with bandages and like these like scratches from chickens. I mean, Sandra is at her best when people aren't thinking of her as a threat. Oh, I think you can help her.
You think she's playing a long game?
I don't know if she's playing a long game, but I think it's something that could maybe help her out at some time in the future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She needs to come in like a full body cast if she ever plays Survivor again.
Yeah. But I still don't get why they are living in the elements. And I know you've said it's like their choice, but I don't get that choice.
Yeah. Alex, as we're approaching the end of the season, the whole Island of the Idols, I think, is making less sense to me.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, why did they have to? Like, I was like, oh, I bet they're going to come into the game. That's why. Like, that never happened. Frankly, I'd be okay with it if it happened in the next episode. Like, day 32.
Do we think they're going to get a jury vote?
I don't know. I mean, at this point, with everything that we've been through,
right?
I guess. I'm fine with it.
Yeah, seriously, why not? Maybe give them a little info and give them a vote. It started out and it made sense. You know, they did the teaching fire in the beginning. I feel like that made sense. Even the memory test with Kelly. That kind of made sense as a lesson, and then went off the wheels. Off the rails.
I'd be fine with them having a role at Final Tribal Council, if they each get to ask a question or be part of the, I mean, they don't even do the questions anymore. It's like the outwit, outplay, outlast discussion. I'd be fine with that. I really, really think it would be against the spirit of the game. And I know, look, we've done a lot of things that are against the spirit of the game with Edge of Extinction last season. So I guess that we've sort of crossed that bridge already. But I really, really think this is potentially worse to have two people that were not players in the game cast
at this point,
vote.
You know, what are they going to do? They're going to change the whole jury's I don't know. I don't love it, but what are we afraid of at this point?
I mean, what if it's a one vote difference where the person who wins got Rob and Sandra's vote?
Well, who would that be? Who would it be?
It's unlikely. No, I admit that it's unlikely.
So you're saying, I guess like
happen.
In a scenario where maybe Tommy and Janet are both in the end and
Rob Janet
and Sandra
and or something.
Push for Tommy to win, and then we're all mad that Janet didn't win. I guess so, but I feel like it's a real sliver of a chance that it's going to be where they're trying to push in a direction that, you know, that the audience wouldn't already be on board with.
Yeah, and I guess also with a lot of these twists, you know, the audience perception is always based on like who these things help, even if they think maybe like objectively it's unfair if something happens. If it helps something that the fans like, it's not going to be made that big of a deal of. I just think personally, it like why are we putting two players on the jury? And not two players, two people on the jury that are supposedly non-players, and they have in their remember the oath of the idols, we do not vote. I think that should carry over to the final tribal council.
Alex, you tell me Dan makes the final three. We're not going to want to see Sandra on the right, final tribal council grilling Dan.
No, she could still. I think she should still be able to grill him. Like, they should be there. I just don't think they should have a vote.
Yeah, I wonder if they will come out like Dr. Will style and kind of moderate the jury.
Yeah.
Okay. Something like that will happen.
It's just so out of character for the show in terms of like what
that's Jeff's job,
you know, to have them come in and like talk to the jury before we go. Like, we never ever like have segment except on the Edge of Extinction where we're like seeing people that are not in the game talking about stuff like in like a group setting.
Right.
Be weird.
You're probably right.
Like, had like Ponderosa footage like going on, or like have everybody at Tribal Council minus the players that are actively in the game.
So do we genuinely think that some people don't know that they're out there still? I kind of think maybe they don't, but I'm not sure.
I don't know. Does Dean know Rob and Sandra are out there?
He's a detective, Rob. Of course he knows.
Yeah. Alex, what'd you make of Dean's move this week where he made the forgery legacy advantage?
I think it definitely goes back to show Jamal how good a player he was, kind of at least in terms of selling that lie, because I don't see, there's no way that anyone should have believed that the original advantage was real. When do you have something handwritten on Survivor? And by the way, when have you ever seen a pencil on Survivor? And then, of course, two episodes later, Dean's got writing utensils, no problem.
That was paint.
Right. Not a pencil. So that's very different. You know, the power of a pencil is very strong. But,
The pencil is mightier than the sword.
Yeah, I mean, given that, you know, it's like, I think you said it on another podcast, you know, it's hard to give him too much credit because it wasn't a real thing, but if it was real, it's a good move.
Yeah, that's such a big,
you know?
Yeah.
Right.
Jamal tweeted at JamManK9, says, "Hey, looks like I deserve an apology from everyone hating on my lion skills, but thinking it was real, clap, clap, clap emoji to Dean for an amazing play. Tip of the hat, sir." Jamal's a classy guy. He also says, "In Dean's defense, my lie was much better than what was shown. And in Survivor, there's so much unknown that he hadn't been to the IOI. So how could he have known for sure? Jason played Nora's fake idol just in case. You got to make moves with what you got. The game is unpredictable." So Jamal says that, look, how could Dean have known? It was that convincing.
Yeah, I think also in Dean's defense, everyone thinks it's real. That's what we've seen. I don't think we've seen someone say on camera, "Hey, you know, this is fake. You know, well, there's no way." I think Tommy said it. I think it's real right before it was revealed to be fake. Of course, that was the fake one, but still.
You know what, Alex? When it was Janet and Dean and Dan, and they were all sitting there on the beach, and Janet, you know, says to Dean, "Hey, was that that Jamal thing? Or right. was it real?"
I think Dean asked Janet, and Janet said with no hesitation, "It's real. I think it's real."
Yeah.
Right?
Well, I thought, I'm like, oh wait, the Jamal thing. Is Dan about? Is this about to blow up again for Dan? And it's like, oh no, they're talking about the legacy advantage.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, I was like, oh. All right, Davey Rickenbacker tweeted, I don't think I could have left the Island of the Idols without trying to climb those statues. Yeah. Do you think that we'll see anybody on top of them? I mean, Alex, wasn't this a missed opportunity for Jeff to open the season? 39 days! 20 people!
What? Two giant stone statues!
Jeff, literally on Boston Rob's head!
So that would be good if they could do that. And then our own Stephen Fishback, that he ended up giving some support to the survivors and said, hey, if you know you're going to lose anyway, no shame in sitting out. Calories lead to energy and help you think better. Sometimes the fuel is worth more than the negligible shot at immunity, especially if at J Anglem 21 is there. So,
yeah, interesting. Yeah, I'm torn about that because do you think there's some component of, you know, if you're sitting out, you kind of are somewhat tipping your hand to everyone that you feel safe or something like that? You think there's any negative byproduct of that?
I do think that there could be that read, but I feel like that's like kind of like an old school thing of like, oh, hey, this person sat out of the challenge. What an insult. Right. They'll vote them out. Nobody gets voted out of the game for sitting out of the challenge anymore.
Right. I think not that you would get voted out directly, but at least the people that played kind of know they're the ones on the outs versus, maybe they knew that anyway.
I think that when you're on Survivor, you look at these challenges and, you know, either I got a shot at this one or, you know, I'm just going to be, you know, I hope I'm not the first person out of these challenges. And I think for all these people, I think it's fine to sit out of the challenge. To go back to Steven's tweet, though, about how, especially if Joe Anglem is there, Julie Rosenberg tweeted, I'm not so sure the shot at beating Joe for immunity is negligible, smiley face emoji. And Julie did beat out Joe Anglem for immunity season 38. Right.
Yeah, that's what I think. This, like, all this talk about physical threats, it's so annoys me every time anyone says physical threat, because no one is going to run. It's so hard to make an immunity run to the end, especially where we're at now in the game. I mean, talk about someone winning challenge after challenge after challenge. I mean, and there's so many different types of challenges. You know, I think that's way overblown. Anyone could be beaten in immunity, I feel like, for sure.
Mm-hmm. And then the great at Ethan Zahn, who has at times sported the same hairstyle as you.
Right.
He said, I remember being tempted by #bacon. I don't know why he had to #bacon on Survivor Africa. Always play. But Big Tom did munch that up. Now, Jordan, far be it for me to quibble with Ethan. Was he just tempted that he was going to eat the bacon? I mean, that was in an auction.
Well, I mean, I think, you know, he's someone who does not eat bacon, as Big Tom pointed out. But I guess if you're like starving and you have a big hot plate of food in front of you, you're going to be tempted to eat it, even if it's something that you normally wouldn't eat out of the game. But luckily, there was still other stuff that came with the bacon. And by the way, like, you know, it was, and we never talked about like the cheapening of the Survivor Africa breakfast. Why is there so much talk about cheapening the day 39 breakfast?
I don't know if they had a day 39 breakfast at that point.
Did they not? I think they did.
I'm pretty sure they didn't.
No day 39 breakfast.
Yeah, I think
Africa.
All Stars was the first breakfast. If I recall, Jenna and Matt did not have a breakfast on day 39. But yeah, Ethan, and far be it for me to, you know, quibble with Ethan. He's you know, had a lot of stuff going on since then. But I feel like he's definitely mixing things up, at least in the tweet of I remember being tempted by bacon on Survivor Africa. Always play. Because that was an auction. He wasn't tempted.
Definitely not what happened.
He might have been tempted to eat the bacon, but he didn't. He wouldn't have lost immunity if he would have eaten the bacon.
I wish they would bring back the auction, by the way. I miss the auction. I feel like, I guess they decided it was, broken because, you know, everyone just saved their money for the advantage. But what if they just kind of told them out front, listen, it's only food.
Can you fix it?
Yeah, sure. I mean,
you tell them it's just food, but then, like, in one of the things, you put, like, an idol clue.
Sure, you could do that, or it could just be only food. I mean, they've had reward challenges for only food, so why not? Why can't it just be only food?
Hmm.
I feel like we've gotten a lot of great moments from the auction. I think if you add the loved ones visit to the auction, that's the way to fix it.
Survivor season 41, back to basics, and also one of the selling points this season, the auction comes back, just food.
Yeah, I think there we go. Yeah, that's interesting. Also combining the auction with the family visit. I wonder, you have people deciding whether, did I save my money for a sleepover with my family member?
No, they would all go for the family visit. Do you remember what happened with letters at the auction? I don't know about necessarily to combine. Nobody would eat. Everybody would have their loved ones.
Yeah, fair enough.
Can we start like referring to the merge as the merger again on the old school Survivor season? Let's bring that back. Let's bring everything back.
Sure.
Fallen comrades. I want Rosie O'Donnell at the reunion show.
Okay.
You know, the one new thing I do like about this season is that they got rid of the previously on.
Oh, you like that?
Change. Yeah, save that airtime. Sure. We all know what previously happened.
I'm not missing the previously on, but I really don't like what they're doing now with the coming up on during the show. I'm getting like these,
like the little flashback things at the beginning.
Yeah, like premonitions, like Bran Stark of what's coming up in the episode.
right.
I don't like it.
And then it was real. And it turned out to be, it was that they showed Nora just looking in the bag, and that didn't even really turn out to be an important scene in the episode.
That's true. It hasn't really spoiled anything. Like, I think they could just start with the episode. They don't need to do that. But I think it is better than like using 45 seconds on the previously on Survivor when like I think I've said this before. We're the super fans. We remember what happened. We listen to 5 podcasts a week about the show.
Yeah. Just don't do anything. Just start the show.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's fine.
Sounds good.
That's fine. Okay. All right. Let's start to make our way towards our This Week in Survivor History quiz. And we got a lot to talk about there. But first, let me thank our other sponsor for this episode of the podcast. Those are our friends over at Purple Mattress. Of course, getting a good night's sleep is so important. You know, after a night of tossing and turning that you don't feel like yourself when you wake up with a stiff neck or back pain. That's where the Purple Mattress comes in, because if you're struggling to get a good night's sleep, you've got to try a Purple Mattress. The founders of Purple were two brothers who have been developing cushioning technology for 30 years on things like medical beds and wheelchairs. And in 2016, they finally decided to use their patented comfort technology to create Purple, the world's most scientific mattress. The Purple Mattress is different from other mattresses because it's going to feel different than anything you've ever experienced, because it uses a brand new material that was developed by an actual rocket scientist, not Dave Johnson, and it's not like the memory foam that you're used to either. The Purple material feels very unique because it's both firm and soft at the same time, so it keeps everything supported while feeling very comfortable. Plus, it's breathable, so it sleeps cool. It ends up giving you a zero gravity feel, so it works in any sleeping position. You can try it risk-free for 100 nights, and if you're not fully satisfied, you can return your mattress for a full refund, backed by a 10-year warranty, free shipping and returns, free in-home setup, and old mattress removal. You're gonna love Purple. And right now, for our listeners, you get a free Purple pillow with the purchase of a mattress. That's in addition to the great free gifts they're offering site-wide. Just text ROB to 84888. The only way to get the free pillow is to text ROB to 84888. That's ROB to 84888. Message and data rates may apply.
Twish.
All right. Quiz time. Alex, are you ready for the quiz?
Yeah, for sure. Before we get to the quiz, can I ask one more question about the episode?
Yes.
Should Elizabeth and Janet have pitched the tribe before the tie vote? Is that allowed, or do they have to keep silent there? I was curious.
It should be allowed. And if they don't get the time, they should request the time. I think that we're in the era of Survivor that basically anything you want to do, I think you can do.
Yeah, I was just thinking they both just sat there, and I was thinking Elizabeth especially should have been, hey, I don't know who voted for me, but it's okay. You know, we know none of us can beat Janet. Let's just take her out and we'll move on.
Yeah, well, I think that would definitely would have been interesting.
I don't know if that would have worked.
Yeah.
I don't think it would have worked, but it would have been good TV to see them like, frantically pitch their case at the last minute.
Also, speaking of Elizabeth not talking, I do want to say officially on the record, we are not going to be getting an exit interview with Elizabeth this week. And as far as I understand, Elizabeth will not be doing any exit press whatsoever. I don't even know if she's going to be doing any email interviews. I mean, maybe that is possible that she might do a email interview with somebody, whether it's Dalton Ross or Mike Bloom or Gordon Holmes. But as far as I understand, she's not doing any exit press, marking the third straight contestant to not do an exit interview. And look, we would love to hear from them. If they want to, I don't think any of us will lose sleep over it, but I do feel like that. I know they've gotten a lot of bad PR and publicity, but I do feel like that probably the best way to handle that is to get out in front. But what do I know? Okay, but no exit interview with Elizabeth.
I agree. You know, I'm not surprised, but I feel like they should do it. I mean, I feel like it's kind of part of the tradition of the show, and you know, you did what you did. And,
yeah, we get it. You did. A lot of people are mad, and you know, that if you have your side of the story that you want to, you know, share to help make people understand, you know, what happened, that would be great. But if not, then
yeah, I agree with that,
and we'll just you know, speculate. All right, let's bring in a pinch quizzer, Alex. How is this that you are a Jeopardy champion? We have a pinch quizzer.
You know, I just wanted to preserve the integrity and competitiveness of your game show here, Rob. I have a lot of respect for game shows, as you know.
Yes.
And, you know, I've watched all the seasons, probably watched them, you know, once, some of them more than once, maybe a couple of them. And for whatever reason, you know, I listened back to a couple quiz segments. And
practice.
Yeah, I tried, but I didn't have... you know, I didn't do too well. I didn't have much idea on any of the questions. It's just, I don't remember the little details of the season too much. So, yes. But we'll see, you know, maybe I will know some stuff, but, I wanted to give you a match.
That's
so,
fair. That's fair.
Have a teammate.
Because Alex, you and I are opposite where that I am a mile deep on this stuff. But an inch wide. I know almost literally nothing else besides right. What I'm talking about on Survivor. And frankly, the amount that I'm wrong, you know, what do I even know about Survivor? But unlike you, a Jeopardy champion, you know just enough about everything.
Right. And I don't know a lot about anything. So don't ask me. No essay questions, please.
Okay. All right. But we do have a pinch quizzer here to join us. Here she is. It's Laura E.D. is here. Laura, welcome to Twitch.
Hi. I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
Yes. Laura, is this what does this mean to you to be Alex Jacobs pinch quizzer, Jeopardy champion? You are his champion.
Yeah, it's I mean, I was kind of like, I'm supposed to be better at trivia than both a Jeopardy champion and Rob Sesternino. Like, no pressure. But yeah, we'll see. I, you know, I've been bugging Jordan to let me go on this show for ages, so I'm super excited to finally be on.
Okay. Alex, do you feel like that you will have some strategy in terms of how you want to handle the quiz?
Well, if it were me, for sure, I know there's a component of either guessing or getting the choices for 1 point. I think I would always take the choices.
Okay.
But, because I know you can steal it.
Yes.
Is that right?
All right,
I do not do that?
That just to explain how this is going to work, that Laura is your pinch quizzer, but you will have the final say on the answer. So you can decide where you want to go. And Laura can tell you how confident she's feeling about any of the questions.
All right. She's my phone friend.
Yes.
Allow another game show analogy.
Right. And Laura, you're comfortable with all this?
Yep. Sounds good.
Okay. Laura, did you have any Survivor hot takes about this week's episode? Not to be confused with Survivor Hot Cakes, which was the what they were offered to sit out of the challenge.
Oh my God. I don't know if I have hot takes. I guess I feel like there's a lot of like Tommy is going to be the winner takes out there. And I'm sort of feeling the opposite. Like I sort of believe the whole a woman is going to win the season prophecy. And maybe that's just my hopeful side. But
Nora?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Right. That's it. But I think that's very interesting. Tommy versus the field of women, where that the prophecy of Rob and Sandra that a woman is going to win the season and Rob wouldn't even take the bet. I do feel like that's the one thing that's stopping me from feeling like, okay, this is like, Tommy is, really just on a, march to his destiny of being the winner. I do think that that's, you know, a fascinating thing to have play out. Do you have a call of which woman you think it could be, Laura?
I think probably Elaine would be my top pick. I feel like she was sort of protected during the whole incident and everything, and that would make sense if they were trying to, you know, set her up as the winner of the season.
I've had that same thought. I like that call as well.
Yeah, I do think that she also seems like she's very tight with Dan, and that's just sort of like reading between the lines. Not a ton on screen in terms of that, but it seems like that they're pretty tight allies. Okay, all right, Jordan.
Yes,
please. Grace us with what are the categories? Jamal of America.
Yeah, Jamal of America. Now we have She Died Dude, Idol Reveal, Spa Day, and Idol Overload.
Okay.
So
wait, so is Jamal one or not?
No, no. That's something that came up during the podcast.
You'll hear that when you season.
Yeah, when you listen, you'll understand that reference. But Alex, as you get to choose the category here between the four that I just listed.
Okay.
And you can confer with Laura on choosing the categories as well.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it doesn't really matter. Let's go Idol Reveal.
Okay. Idol Reveal. We're going to Survivor Cook Islands. The episode is You're a Rat from November 30th, 2006, 13 years ago Saturday. Who did Becky send to Exile Island in the middle of the Cook Islands auction, prompting Yule to reveal that he already had the idol?
I'm pretty sure I know this without the multiple choice, but, you know, if you want to go for multiple choice.
So who do you think it is then?
I think it's Candace.
I think it's Candace. I mean, you are the ringer, and what percent confident are you?
Like 90%, I guess.
90%. That's a big number, Rob. All right. I got to take those odds.
So
let's go with Candace.
So Laura's 90% sure. This sort of reminds me of this old, like, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire game I used to play on the computer, where there were like fake phone a friend people. And sometimes they would give you an answer and they'd be like 90%. Sometimes they give you an answer and they're like, I'm 15%. But it is good that you listen to Laura, because Candace is the correct answer. And Yule at the auction reveal that he had the superpowered, we now call the Tyler Perry idol. So you guys get 2 points to start. Laura, good job. Alex, good job listening to Laura.
And, yeah, well, this is riveting to hear you guys work this out. This is exciting.
Good team. Yeah. And so, Rob, you get to choose the next category.
Okay. All right. Well, can I hear them once? She Died Dude.
She Died Dude, Spa Day, and Idol Overload.
And Jamal of America
or
Kayak person.
Jamal of America is the final Jeopardy question.
Okay. One more time.
Okay, we have She Died Dude, Spa Day, Idol Overload.
Let me do Idol Overload.
Okay, so we're going to go to Survivor San Juan del Sur. This is Where We Build Trust from November 26, 2014, 5 years ago Tuesday. Which two contestants played idols at the tribal council in which Wes Snell was voted out? Who is the victim of Taco Overload, which is how we got the name of this clue.
Two survivors.
Yes.
I have to name both of them here.
Correct.
Right?
Correct. Okay. Yes.
That Alex said that it sounds like I'm being pedantic, but if you ever listen to this quiz before, you can't ask enough questions
right.
of what he's looking
Jordan
for.
Seems like a trickster.
He's a trickster. You're used to only well worded, vetted questions.
Right. Right.
Okay.
The best in the biz, Rob. Or Jeopardy.
Yeah. So on the power rankings, me, Alex Trebek, how far away are the two of us so far?
On a scale of Jordan Kalish to Alex Trebek.
You know, I mean, Alex Trebek's probably got to be number one on the gravitas rankings. Mm-hmm. So it's hard to compete. But you're right there, Jordan. You're right there.
Okay. Let me hear the choices. Let me hear the choices here.
Okay. So the choices, and I'll read the question again. Which two contestants played idols at the tribal council in which Wes Snail is voted out? We have A, John and Natalie, B, John and Keith, C, Reed and Natalie, D, Reed and Keith.
Okay. I don't remember what letter it was. I'm going to say Reed and Keith.
Reed and Keith is actually incorrect. So John and Keith, this is the famous stick to the plan tribal council where Natalie told John to play his idol. And then after he played his idol, much like Lauren played her idol after Karishma played hers, Keith stood up, played his, and in the process, idled out his own son. So
yeah, yes, I knew Keith. I knew Keith. And then I can hear Natalie saying, John, play your idol.
Yeah, so that was stick to the plan, Rob. You don't get a point there. Wes only got two votes at the tribal in which he was voted out.
Yeah, Alex, you gotta risk it to get the biscuit.
You do. You didn't risk it, and you didn't get a biscuit.
Well,
but I guess if you had risked it,
and the corollary is true,
then Alex and Laura could have gotten a biscuit if they stole a point.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Points are biscuits now. Okay, so Alex and Laura, you guys have a She Die Dude, and we have Spa Day.
Okay, this might be my main decision making in this game, picking the category. So I will go with Spa Day.
Okay, we're going to Survivor South Pacific. The episode is cult-like from November 30th, 2011, 8 years ago Saturday. Albert won the final 7 immunity/reward challenge and chose Coach to go with him on the spa reward. He then gave up his own spot at the spa, giving it to Blink.
Oh, I kind of remember this. Albert.
Yeah.
Give
I know this
his,
one. But if you want to figure it out, go for it.
this must be like sometimes people playing like bar trivia with me, like when I'm like, oh, I know it. They're like, wait a minute, I want to think of it. Hold on, don't say it. Okay. So Albert won immunity. He gave his spot to. All right, just tell me who it is.
I'm pretty sure it was Cochran, because Cochran had told them it was going to be his birthday.
Birthday, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah, that sounds right. Let's go with Cochran.
Cochran is correct. You guys get another 2 points. And yeah, Cochran said that it was that his birthday was coming up because he wanted to stay in the game. And he did actually get voted out in this episode, so it didn't work as well as he would have liked it to. But he did get a spa day with Coach out of it, and that sounds like it would be a lot of fun. So at least Cochran got that, and then he went on to win Survivor. So worked out in the long run. Rob, you're down 4-0. You got to get some points here. So we are going to...
You think so, Doctor?
Yeah. Yeah, I do. She Died, Dude. We're going to obviously Survivor Pearl Islands, The Great Lie, November 26, 2003, 16 years ago, Tuesday, in the Pearl Islands Loved One Reward Challenge. Whose loved one jumped off the plank last, clinching the challenge for Fair Play and Thunder D?
Whose loved one jumped off last? Let me just think about this.
And I know you love picking out the wording. Essentially, who came in second place in the challenge?
Yeah. Trying to think about it because I feel like with the choices, there's only going to be a couple of different choices that it could be anyway, and. I have it narrowed down to a couple of people, and I'll risk it to get the biscuit.
You get a biscuit.
And
you know if you're wrong, it's going to be like those Jeopardy games where like somebody has it locked up before
that's
final
fine.
Jeopardy.
That's fine. That's an acceptable outcome also. But I'll say Tawana's loved one.
Tawana's loved one is incorrect. So Alex and Laura, you've won the quiz, but you get to steal a point.
Right. So I don't know, Burton. Do you have any ideas on this?
Yeah, I don't really remember this. I have a memory of Burton's mom like dropping into the water. So I would go with Burton, but I don't really know.
Okay, sure. Let's try it since it doesn't matter anyway. Let's go with Burton.
Actually, Big Lil. Big Lil's husband, Lonnie, was the last one there. I believe, I think Rob, you may have guessed Tawana. I think I believe it was her boyfriend or fiance, Billy, did a flip into the water. And she said, that's Billy. So that was Billy. And, but it was not the right answer to this question. So Rob, you have 0 points. Is there, are we even going to, I usually call it the death match, but I think in honor of Alex Jacob being the guest, I'll call it Final Jeopardy.
Okay, well, let's just sure, for not. Fun. What was the category?
I just want to say I feel like the key to this was that we got the easier questions, and therefore the category choosing was of utmost importance. So I just want to point that.
Yes.
out.
Yeah. I mean, if you had asked me, I would have said, "Oh, I totally want to do the Pearl Islands question," and I didn't know that one. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah. Pearl Islands, very very memorable season. And I look, that's like one of. Maybe the potentially the most famous the grandma line, the most famous thing to happen on the show, the fact that Lil came in second in the challenge, not necessarily the most famous thing to happen on the show, but this is This Week in Survivor history. You know what you're getting here. It's very deep cut.
Oh, we
Survivor
all know
trivia.
What we're getting.
Oh yeah, yeah, for sure.
So the final Jeopardy game, and we're calling it that today, that we had, it's a game we've played before. I don't think we've played it this season, but we've played it in the past where I would give you a season. I would tell you who got voted out, and you have to just tell me if they were voted out unanimously or non-unanimously. I guess I could give each of you one.
Always a crowd pleaser.
I think people like this one. I've gotten positive feedback on this one.
Laura, is that what you hear?
I don't really spend a lot of time, like, you know, combing Twitter for Twitch reviews, I guess.
It's a very, very political answer. I like it.
I don't know about this.
Okay, so Rob, you... You have a little egg on your face right now, so let's see if you could get out of the well, out of the leech filled well here. And we'll go to my favorite, Guatemala. We'll go to Guatemala. Was Gary voted out unanimously or non unanimously?
I'll say non unanimously.
False. It was he got voted out 6-1. After his idol play, it only saved him for one tribal council, and everyone voted for him, including his ally Danny, which I think helped her sort of integrate herself within that tribe, which led to her winning the game. Alex and Laura, I will give you let's go with China, James Clement.
No, I don't think it was unanimous.
Yeah, that was a 5-1-1 vote, where PG, who was on the outs there, was not in the loop, and I believe she voted for Todd, but I could double check that.
Okay,
she was in the loop, but she just was worried about James playing an idol, you know.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, I would have said unanimous on that one.
Okay, well, as exciting as this bonus round is, Laura, I want to congratulate you.
Hey, I anticipated a runaway here. I knew we didn't need the most exciting bonus round.
I appreciate your confidence in me, Jordan.
Yes. Laura, congratulations on the big runaway. I think the biggest blowout we've ever had on Twitch.
Oh, wow. Thanks. Yes. That's exciting.
Alex, you can add this to your accomplishments.
Well. We're going to need like This Week in Survivor history to figure this out.
I'm counting this as a win for me. I think I did most of the heavy lifting there, but choosing the categories and getting those easier questions. So I think history will show that.
Where does this rank? So I believe, if I have this correct, Alex, you not including Tournament of Champions and stuff, you won 6 games of Jeopardy. Is that correct?
Yes.
And where would we rank this win amongst your 6 Jeopardy wins? And we'll throw Tournament of Champions
right
in there as
there.
Well.
Right there. I mean, okay. It's 1 and 1A, Jordan, you know.
Yeah,
I mean,
good.
It's hard to even find
like a favorite
space
child.
Between them.
I can't, unfortunately, there's no cash prize in this, but there is the honor and Jervis of winning Twitch. So, and Laura, you were the pinch quizzer. You guys did a great job figuring these out. I have questions for both of you. I have been scouring both of your Twitter accounts, and we'll start with Alex. Who is the first survivor? If you had to guess, the first survivor you ever followed on Twitter. And by the way, you follow everybody on Twitter, so I'd have to do a lot of scrolling for this one.
Oh, I apologize for that. So who is the first survivor I followed? Wow, Cochran?
It was actually Ronnie Barta, who I'm assuming you followed, but this is probably a long time ago.
Good call.
More as a poker player than. But the
question. All right, fair enough. Pour one out for Ronnie, by the way. Really disappointed to see how he went out.
Did you know Ronnie from way back?
I did know Ronnie a little bit. Yeah, definitely. Good guy, and you know, just kind of had bad luck or just a bad day, and. How he's perceived out there, but I think in another universe, I think he could have done well.
Yeah, and the alternate boot order universe,
right?
The upside down. He's the winner.
Maybe in the first boot season, we'll see him back.
Yeah, if we flipped all the boot orders of all the Survivor seasons, I wonder which one would be the most interesting. I think maybe we could be looking at Survivor Game Changers there. That would have been a really fun like final six. Mm-hmm. But you know, what I also found interesting, Alex, more interesting necessarily than the fact that Ronnie Barta was your first Survivor follow, that Will from America, who is a former Twitch contestant and also the writer of the theme song, is the first like RHAP / Survivor person that you follow. You followed him before you ever followed a Survivor contestant. So I wonder how that happened. But good job. Good for Will.
Because he follows me, he's a fan of me, so I follow a lot of people back. Just exactly.
Yeah,
so that's how that happened.
It's good. He's a good follow. He's a lot of good tweets. And Laura, who is the first Survivor you followed on Twitter?
I am not sure about this. I've been on Twitter for a long time, so I would guess maybe Stephen Fishback.
That is correct. You're on a roll here. It is Stephen Fishback.
Oh, okay, cool.
Before Rob. The knowingest know-it-all.
Well, I mean, this was like back in season 18, I'm guessing.
Oh, okay.
Because I really liked Steven in season 18.
Yeah. All right. Well, I guess that's acceptable.
Yeah, I can see. You know what? I think you're right, because it looks like Erin Lobdell. I think this is her. Yeah, she goes by Erin Moss now as the second Survivor. You can follow her.
Oh, that makes sense.
All right. Well, if you're somebody who needs help with trivia like myself, maybe check out Alex Jacobs School of Trivia.com. That's how you get to his School of Trivia Patreon. What are you doing on the School of Trivia Patreon?
I've been streaming a trivia quiz.
I see it in your Twitter feed. I see what is this about?
Yeah. So you can go on there, and it's through something called Kahoot, which they use in schools. Probably a lot of the kids are out there familiar with it. And you can actually play live on your phone when I stream it out.
Oh, that's awesome.
Planning to make a podcast version at some point, but haven't gotten to it yet. And then for the patrons, we do fun party games after the stream. So it's a really good time. We have a patron night on the weekends, quizzes on the weekdays. So it's been a good time, been a really good group, just got it started, and planning to do kind of a tournament of patrons. Kind of found this other site called Factile that has similar format of the game show you know and love, but of course there'll be a little tweaks so Sony doesn't sue me.
Mm-hmm.
but It's sign up. Go ahead and sign up. Anyone who signs up in December, I think we'll start that after the holidays. So
nice.
Good time to sign up.
Okay, check that out at schooloftrivia.com. Of course, you could follow Who is Alex Jacob? Not yet at Who is Alex Jacob 1. That's coming when you lose the password for your Twitter account.
Right. Hopefully that doesn't happen.
Yeah. Okay. Laura, do you have anything that you want to plug? You want to give out your social media?
Sure. You can follow me on Twitter. My username is not one that Rob will like, but it's J Calderash. It's J-K-A-L-D-E-R-A-S-H. It's a Buffy trivia reference.
Okay. Oh. All right. Which side were you on in the RHAP versus Boreanaz war?
I completely missed this. When did this happen?
Yeah, there was a dust up.
With RHAP and Boreanaz?
Yeah, the Boreanaz stance.
Yeah. I'll have to look that up, but I'm sure I would have been on
RHAP. He's in the SEAL team,
side.
Rob. He's in the SEAL team. I wouldn't just like
We know. We know. Believe me. We're on top of it. Okay.
He's in Bones. He's getting Bones.
No,
like
we
Bones.
Know. We got it. Yeah. All right. there you go. All right. Alex, anything else you want to say?
No, I think that's it, Rob. Just followed you on Twitter, Laura. Thanks for the help and defeating Rob here. It was a great time. Thanks for having me on, Rob. Really appreciate it.
Okay. Well, I really appreciate you spending so much time with us talking about this week in Survivor. On Wednesday night, we are going to be live from the Brea Improv with our live know-it-alls coming up. So very excited about that show. So be on the lookout for our Survivor know-it-alls at midnight Eastern, 9 p.m. Pacific, if you're not going to be with us in person. So very excited about that. To find out more about everything that we have going on in our Patreon group, head on over to robinswebsite.com/patron. Jordan, anything else from you?
No, Laura, thank you very much for coming on as a pinch quizzer. And Alex, I'm a huge Jeopardy fan. I've been watching for a very long time, so it was very cool having you here on the show. Cool. doing my trivia game. And I think we had another great week, so I'm very happy about how this one went and looking forward to next week.
Okay. All right. Thank you guys so much. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.